Thank you, Mike. Good morning, everyone. My name is Susan, and we welcome you to Unity Center for Positive Living. And it's wonderful to see you all here, especially since you could be out in the sunshine. So welcome. I'm going to begin by reading from the Daily Word, and today's word is prosperity. I claim prosperity now. When I feel tempted to wish for a more prosperous life, I remember my prosperity begins on the level of my thinking. I focus my thoughts on the many blessings already in my life and feel grateful. From this place, this place of gratitude, it becomes easy to notice more and more blessings all around me. This awareness helps me develop an attitude of prosperity. I tend to my thoughts of prosperity as though they are flowers in a garden. I plant them in good soil and nurture them with water and sunshine. This rich environment allows prospering ideas to take root and grow. As I nurture these ideas, I am abundantly blessed in life, love, health, and joy. And from Psalms 36:8, they feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. And now, would you please join us in singing Surely the Presence as we're led by Mike and Karen?
Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. I can feel the mighty power in your grace. I can feel the rush of the wind. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. I can feel the mighty power and the grace. I can feel the rush of angel winds. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place.
Thank you. Now, let's all say our opening statement together. There is only one presence and one power, active as the universe and as my life, God the good. And our welcoming song today is I'm So Glad I'm Here. And Mike and Karen are going to lead us in that.
So glad I'm here, so glad I'm here, so glad I'm here today. So glad I'm here, I'm so glad I'm here, so glad I'm here today. sing while I'm here. Sing while I'm here. Sing while I'm here. Every day. Gonna sing while I'm here. Gonna sing while I'm here. Sing while I'm here. Every day.
Thank you. So this is the time that we greet each other. And of course, all we can do now is, smile and wave and whatever. So we'll have an opportunity to visit more at the end, although we have a 15 minute break between our end of service and our annual meeting, so you could visit then. So I have a number of announcements, and then if you have additional ones, you can unmute yourself and let us hear them. The first is that today is the annual board meeting. Right after the service, we will be deciding how to distribute our outreach funds for 2021. We'll be electing board members to fill the vacancies. And yeah, so we'll take a break between the service and the meeting. And that's what I have. Does anyone else have an announcement? Just raise your hand. Penny?
I have an announcement about Lessons and Legends on Thursday night, Grandfather's Stories. We have finished a group of, I believe, 60 legends, and those are all recorded and on the homepage. But we are transitioning this Thursday into Lessons of the Medicine Wheel. So if you would like to join us for this new transition, it will be 35 minutes of the Medicine Wheel and then 25 minutes of the Chinook jargon. Lesson. So hope you can join us. It should be a fun, it'll be a nice change up. And we thank you, Grandfather. We thank you, Tom. Tom records these, puts them on our website, which is a huge gift to future generations that will be able to enjoy these stories. So Thursday night, 6:00. Thank you.
Great. Any other announcements? Okay, we're announced up. So let's move on to our unity statement. And if you would join me, we will say that together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And next, we will sing the song of joy deep inside my heart. And Mike, Karen, and Isaac will help us do that.
All right, you ready, Isaac? Deep inside my heart.
Deep inside my heart.
I got this everlasting love.
I got this everlasting love.
It's shining like the sun.
Shining like the sun.
Radiates on everyone.
Radiates on everyone.
And the more that I get,
the more that I get,
the more I got to get,
the more I got to get.
It's the way that I live.
It's the way that I live.
It's what I'm living for.
It's what I'm living for.
Deep inside my heart.
Deep inside my heart.
Oh, way down deep inside my heart.
Deep inside my heart.
I got this everlasting love.
I got this everlasting love.
Deep inside my heart.
Deep inside my heart.
I got this everlasting love.
I got this everlasting love.
It's shining like the sun.
It's shining like the sun.
Radiates
on everyone.
And the more that I give,
the more that I give,
the more I've got to give,
the more I've got to give.
It's the way that I live.
It's the way that I live.
It's what I'm living for.
It's what I'm living for.
Deep inside my heart.
Deep inside my heart.
Way down deep inside my heart.
Deep inside my heart,
I've got this everlasting love.
I've got this everlasting love.
I've got this everlasting love.
Everlasting love.
Got this everlasting love. Got this everlasting love.
Deep inside my heart.
Deep inside my heart.
Way down deep inside my heart.
Everlasting love. Got this everlasting love.
Yahoo! Okay, the reading today is going to be given by Eileen. And there she is.
All right, so one of my favorites, many of you have seen it before, Offbeat Prayers for the Modern Mystic by Anne Sermons-Gillis. I have chosen God Works Unlimited. God works unlimited miracles in my life. It takes an unlimited plan for an unlimited life, and God's plan for my life is unlimited. I now free myself from confining limits, therefore I am freed to be unlimited. I accept my unlimited good in the form of joy, peace of mind, spiritual wisdom, health, wealth, and good relationships. There is no problem too big for God's unlimited love to solve. There is no moment that is void of God's unlimited good for me. I step into God's unlimited love and ascend into an unlimited reality filled with God's grace. All my mistakes are erased by God's grace, and I stand free in the present with an open mind and a willing heart. My ability to receive my good is becoming more and more unlimited as I look toward God's unlimited love for me. God's love for me is unconditional, and that love is sufficient to break all chains to the past and to heal any wound. I do not have to wait for my healing. The time for my emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual healing is now.
Thank you. Yay, I am free, I am unlimited. Now we're going to sing the meditation song, Breathe My Love, with our great Merkers to lead us. And next, we will say our affirmations together. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. I am at peace, knowing that everything I need comes to me in perfect time. Today we will say the progressive Lord's Prayer, and then we will follow that with the Alleluia. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, I am. I am thy kingdom come, I am thy will being done, I am on earth even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am also all life forgiving me. I am leading all men and women from temptation. I am delivering all men and women from error. I am the kingdom, I am the power, and I am the glory of God in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am. Amen.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Thank you. We have a different speaker each Sunday of the month. And this morning, we're going to be hearing from Audrey Pitchford, who is a licensed Unity teacher from Olympia. And today, she's going to talk about heart-centered metaphysics. Audrey.
Thank you, Susan. And Happy New Year, everyone. It's just a delight for me to see your faces. I'm so grateful that we are able to connect in this way. So a young monk saw his master sitting peacefully on the opposite side of a raging river. And the young monk called out, "Master, master, how do I get to the other side?" And the master called back, "You are on the other side." So as Susan mentioned, starting this month, I'm going to be speaking from this book called Heart-Centered Metaphysics. It was written by a Unity minister, Paul Hasselbeck, who was one of my teachers when I was going through the licensed Unity teacher program. And the word metaphysics used to be kind of a mystery to me. So I found a definition, and metaphysics is what is beyond the physics or the physical. It's the process of exploring beliefs and concepts beyond the physical plane, including examples such as, what is the nature of reality? What is our immortal soul? What is the divine, and what is our relationship with the divine? And in Unity, the word metaphysics is also synonymous with theology or the study of God. And so this exploration will be a study of Unity theology. And in fact, the subheader on the book says a deeper look at Unity teachings. Now, with that said, many of you have known me for a while, and probably my next statement won't surprise you too much. But when I teach, I always keep a few things in mind. One is I can teach what Unity teaches, and I can also share with you what I believe. And a lot of it's the same as what Unity teaches. There's times that I have my own opinions. I would never presume to tell you what you should believe. And so I ask a lot of questions because I like hearing from you and I like hearing your thoughts. And I learn that way as well. And I welcome diversity of thought and opinion. So with that said, I'm going to open up the floor and ask this question because I'd love to hear from you. So why study metaphysics? What's the point? What's the value, or is there any value? And I invite you to unmute yourself if you have something you'd like to share. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, because it's the majority of who we truly are.
Okay, all right, thank you, Joanne.
If you have a new car, you hopefully study your owner's manual.
Okay, so it's like the owner's manual. All right, I like it. Thank you, Joanne. Other thoughts? Why study metaphysics?
Well, animals actually do it automatically. They reach out in an instinctive way, but they see that too. And they see the beauty of a person or the anger of the person, and they respond automatically. Like my little fellow here, a little midi here, she's sleeping now because she feels the beauty that she sees around her.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sherry. So it's a way of connecting with our world, of connecting with those around us and understanding what's going on around us. Thank you. Thank you. Other thoughts why we study metaphysics?
Because we're all looking for answers to those questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going to go when I leave here?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Johnny. I have those questions often. Yeah. And I'm sure many of us do too. Thank you so much. Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts before I continue? All right. So a few ideas that I thought of as well when I was pondering this question about why we study metaphysics, in addition to what you all shared, I thought, well, studying metaphysics is a way for me to deepen my spiritual practice. It also helps me discern my own inner knowing. So I deepen my spiritual practice by reading from masters and experts who've gone before me. And then I discern my own inner knowing by pondering their words and thinking, does that resonate with me? Does that not resonate with me? Do I want to try it? Have I already tried it? Do I want to try it again? And then also this idea of learning to apply principles in our lives and in our world. So for me, it's more than just a brain exercise. Like Johnny said, I'm looking for answers and I want to find, are there ways to help me more successfully navigate this human existence? Are there ways to help myself love better, be a better person, support my loved ones in a better way? How can I take this information and use it in my life and in the world? So some additional reasons that may or may not resonate with you. We may all have our own reasons and that's fine. And this may sound very head-centered, all of this study on metaphysics and what Unity teaches, but the book is called Heart-Centered Metaphysics. Heart-centered. And so I'd love to hear from you all again, any thoughts that you may have. What does being heart-centered mean to you?
It comes from the heart or the feelings rather than the mind. You're not thinking of it, you are feeling it. It's from that. And again, the animals do that automatically. They feel from the heart. They're not thinking on this. They are actually feeling this. And as everyone is doing, you're feeling all that's there.
Right. Thank you, Sherry. Yeah, thank you. Using our feeling nature, not just coming from the head, but from the heart, from our emotions. Thank you. Other thoughts on what heart-centered means?
Being present in the moment, I think.
Oh yeah, thank you, Cindy. Being present in the moment, sometimes called mindfulness, right? Right. So rather than rehashing my past or worrying about my future, just being in the right here, right now, in the gift of the present. Yeah, lovely, thank you. Any other thoughts on heart-centered? All right. Well, I did some research about the heart and it was fascinating because this symbol here is a symbol of many things. And biologically, we all have a heart. And the symbol, the heart shape that we're familiar with that we use as emojis on Facebook and in email is actually not very similar to the biological heart, which some thinkers say looks more like an upside down pear. But this heart that we all have is pretty miraculous. It is integral to life. It pumps our blood. It circulates our oxygen. According to the American Heart Association, our hearts beat an average of 100,000 times a day, anywhere from 60 to 100 beats a minute, which over the course of a human lifetime is close to 3 million beats, which is just quite astounding. The heartbeat itself is also quite a miracle. During embryonic development, even before the heart is formed, the cells that will become the heart start contracting due to electrical impulses. And that's what becomes the heartbeat. And no one even really knows what starts those electrical impulses contracting. So I think that's pretty miraculous that we have this spark of divine life in us beating our hearts. The heart is one of the earliest organs to develop and one of the few organs that has to function immediately, almost as soon as it's formed. I like reflecting on our actual physical heart as well if I find myself in a place of separation thinking. So if I'm in a place where I'm maybe looking at someone else and thinking judgmental thoughts or seeing all the ways that we're different, one of my practices is to start listing in my head things that other person and I have in common. And we may not share political beliefs, we may not share values or personalities. And sometimes what we have in common is we all have skin, we all have hair, we all have a heart that beats. And I remind myself of that when I need assistance in remembering oneness. All right. Let's continue to something else that the heart symbolizes. I think we heard this in our conversation that the heart is a symbol of love. And I love this quote from Jesus, our master teacher, when some people were trying to trip him up and hoping he would say the wrong thing. And they said, well, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus answered this way, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And so I love this image of love being something we do with all of our heart. And I put a braid over on the right side of the slide because for me, the idea of this passage always makes me think of a braid that we love God, we love our neighbor, and we love ourselves. And to me, the way we demonstrate how we love God is how we love our neighbor. And the way we demonstrate how we love our neighbor is how we love ourselves. And the way we demonstrate how we love ourselves is how we love God. And so I like the interrelation of all of those. The heart is also a symbol of courage. We have an expression that someone who is courageous is lion-hearted. And another quote from Jesus, our master teacher, this was when the disciples were out fishing on a lake, and Jesus came walking across the surface of the water to them, and the disciples were terrified. And they said, oh, it's a ghost. And Jesus said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And so this reminder of the heart as a symbol of courage. Metaphysically, because in Unity, we don't interpret the Bible literally. We don't get super hung up on whether the stories happen the way they're written or not, but we look at the deeper meaning. Jesus symbolizes that Christ presence in each of us, that divinity, that inner light that is always beating our heart and that is always with us. And so I love this idea of Jesus's words saying, take heart, do not be afraid, that he's here, reminding ourselves that that's that Christ presence that's always with us, that we can always rely on for courage. Heart-centered can also be a symbol of a place for what we treasure and what we value. In the book of Luke, early on after the birth of Jesus, in one of those stories, it talks about how the shepherds came and visited and said, oh, we saw angels in the sky. We heard this fabulous music. And we hear that Mary, Jesus's mother, treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart, which I just think is beautiful. And then we also have this great quote from our master teacher in the book of Luke, where Jesus is talking to people about abundance and prosperity. And he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I love this idea of what we value is what we hold in our hearts. Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore wrote a book called The Revealing Word, which defined different terms with metaphysical meanings. And Charles said that love was the affectional consciousness in humanity. So again, representative of our feelings and the faculty through which we receive love from being. So our ability to receive love, to know ourselves as the beloved. Charles also said that the heart represents the subconscious mind. So what we're thinking that we may not even be aware of stored in our heart. Getting back to this idea of heart-centered metaphysics, again, I think it is all about learning, but also the feeling nature, evaluating how does the information I'm learning land with me? What can I do with it? How can I bring my full self to this learning and experience it and try it and pay attention to what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking about what I'm reading or learning? Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about that subheader on the book about unity teachings. I used to work with a lady and who asked me about my church. And when I told her I went to Unity, she said, "Oh, Unity, you all can believe anything." And I said, "Well, yeah, yes and no. I can see why someone might get that impression, but that's not quite how I would describe it." I have heard other people say, "Well, Unity has no doctrine." And again, I would say, well, yes and no. That may not be exactly how I would see it. I shared a couple handouts for today, and Tom was kind enough to post those on the website. And this graphic is on one of those handouts. So Unity does have five basic principles, and they're summarized here and on the handout. And I think the key thing that I notice about Unity is that people are not punished by the community or by God for not agreeing with Unity teachings. I think people who stay with Unity have a general level of agreement with these teachings, but there's not a punishment or an exclusion from the community if people don't see the world the same way. And I think the other thing that I notice in Unity is that we do tend to value diversity in thought, which I appreciate. I think sometimes the phrase Unity teachings is a little funny to me because there are areas where there is diversity of thought, even among Unity leaders and Unity ministers. And that's okay. I don't know about you, but personally, I find myself mistrustful of religion that has answers that seem too easy. And so some of these questions that we're pondering are certainly challenging. Charles Fillmore, one of the Unity co-founders, was also a teacher and he taught his students. And there's a famous story about a time that he was asking them questions and his students were repeating back to him stuff that Charles had written in his books. And Charles stopped them and he said, "Well, yes, but what do you think?" And so again, when I teach, I will share what Unity teaches and I love hearing what others think as well. Here's an example of a place where there is some diversity in Unity thought. And this is the other handout that I shared that's on the website. It's called The Three Faces of God. Now, I think many people who hang around Unity are in general agreement that we know God is not a big guy up in the sky. And at the same time, I do hear people in Unity refer to God as him. And certainly some of our original Unity writers, Charles and Myrtle, referred to God as him, even though they were very clear that God was not a big guy up in the sky. To them, God was principle. We may all have a variety of names that we use for God. We might say Mother, Father, God. We might say divine illumination. We might say blessed love, or whatever name works for us. The Three Faces of God handout also talks about our relationship with divinity. And there's three different concepts that it shares. One is this idea of God within us or as us. And sometimes this is called God as immanent or oneness. Unity author Eric Butterworth used the example that God is in us, not like a raisin in a bun, something that can be easily isolated and removed, but like the ocean in a wave, where the wave does not have a separate existence from the ocean, where we do not have a separate existence from the divine. So this idea of God within us or God as us. Another face of God that the handout describes is sometimes called the ground of being, or all that is, the God in which we live and move and have our being. So God in nature, God in the universe, God in the stars. There's a third description that is probably the most controversial within Unity. God as you, or sometimes this is called the thou, the I-thou relationship. Now, the word thou to us sounds very formal, but many languages have two different forms of the word you. They have a formal version, which is used with teachers and professional settings and so forth. And they have the informal version of you, which is used with friends and family members and loved ones. English no longer has these two different forms of the word you, but we did in the past. And in the past, the thou was the informal version. So the way that the word you was used with our most beloved, with our nearest and dearest. And Jesus demonstrated this relationship with God when he called God Abba, the Hebrew word for daddy. Now, the concern about this way of looking at God within some Unity thinkers is, does this promote separation? And there's some Unity thinkers who believe that even saying something like, thank you, God, means that I'm over here and I'm thanking God outside of me. For me, saying something like, thank you, God, is something I do regularly. And my challenge to myself with that is examining my consciousness. Do I have a consciousness of separation when I say that? Or do I still have a consciousness of oneness? Can I say thank you, God, and still remember that I am part of that divine? And so I shared that full handout with you. I hope that you get a chance to take a look at it and ponder through and identify what resonates for you. What of the faces of God feel the most supportive to you in your spiritual path, if there's any that challenge you to continue to grow and learn. Well, speaking of growing and learning, I wanted to talk a little bit about the events of this past week in the political and national news. I don't know what thoughts or feelings you might have had after seeing the news this past week. I saw some events that I felt shocked by and very sad. And I also felt some determination and some hope. And my determination was that I believe this is certainly a time to practice the spiritual principles, the principles that we know. Unity Worldwide Ministries, the parent organization for Unity Churches, has a yearly theme. And the theme that they picked for 2021, I feel like is just perfect. It is how to stay centered no matter what. And I know that we all have a variety of spiritual principles that we use to stay centered. Some of the ones that I use, that I'm guessing many of you use as well, meditation, taking time to be in the stillness and the silence, mindfulness, which we talked a little bit about earlier, focus on being in the present moment, gratitude, which we had that beautiful daily word today about recognizing our prosperity and our abundance through gratitude, prayer, the times that we commune with the divine, spiritual study helps me stay centered. And so I do a lot of reading and learning. And community, for me, community is one of the biggest anchors of my spiritual practice. I am so grateful for all of you and all the folks I know through Unity and my friends and my family and my loved ones. I feel like they are crucial. And in this time that we're having some less frequent in-person get-togethers, I am challenged to think creatively about ways that I can still maintain those connections so that I can remind myself I'm part of a community. The way that the larger Unity organization is focusing on their message this year about staying centered no matter what is by doing a review of the 12 spiritual powers that we talked about last year. So these 12 spiritual attributes that we believe are part of the divine and are in each of us, because we know that we are each expressions of the Most High. And so January is focusing on the concept of faith. And I love the power of faith, our ability to recognize divinity, no matter what we may be seeing in the outer, to recognize that the Most High is present in each situation, regardless of how it's dressed up or what it appears to look like. This is one of my favorite acronyms for the word fear, to feel emotions and rise. Because when we go through events like what happened earlier this week, I think it is certainly important to feel our feelings, to feel our surprise or our shock or our sadness or our anger or whatever it is that we may be feeling. And that's a reminder to turn to those spiritual principles and practices that we know, to remember our divine faith, to know that God is still at work regardless of appearances to the outer. I love this quote from Unity Minister Robert Brummett, who is one of my favorite Unity writers. He says, "Fear is having faith in certain images created by the mind rather than having faith in the creative power of the mind itself." So fear is when I put my belief in the images, and faith is when I remember it is mind that creates those images and I can create something new. Unity has this affirmation for the month about faith, that my faith assures me that every event in my life has meaning and brings gifts. And I invite us to affirm that together. My faith assures me that every event in my life has meaning and brings gifts. And so it is. Amen. The month of January is full of holidays that celebrate new beginnings, fresh perspective, seeing things differently, seeing possibilities, seeing opportunities. On January 1st, we had our New Year's Day, where many people decide upon resolutions or steps they want to take to try to improve their lives. On January 18th, we will celebrate Martin Luther King Day, which honors a man who dreamed about how this country could be more inclusive and more broadly offer opportunities to all, especially to people who had been historically marginalized in the past due to the color of their skin. And so I love that we're talking about faith again this month, that we always have the ability to see the world with eyes that recognize possibility, that recognize opportunity, that recognize divinity, regardless of the circumstances. So this is what we will be studying and pondering as we look at these Unity teachings. We will be looking for ways to be heart-centered, to see what these teachings mean for us. And I want to encourage us all to continue to be heart-centered as we go about our lives, especially in the upcoming weeks, thinking about what is it that I might need to attend to any feelings I'm having? Do I need to remind myself that I am an expression of faith? How can I be heart-centered for others around me if they appear to be hurting, even if it's just being present with them or listening to them? Many times we might fall into the trap of thinking that I have to say the right thing. And sometimes it's not about the words we say, it's just about being present for others, letting them know that we love and care about them and that they are in our hearts. So I'm excited about this journey together with everyone, looking through heart-centered metaphysics. I look forward to what we'll be learning together. We'll take a few minutes now to spend some time in meditation, focusing on this idea of being heart-centered. And just to prepare for meditation, I'll let you know that in the course of the meditation, I'll be asking you to think about someone or something that you love fully and freely. So it could be a person, it could be a pet, It could be a type of plant. It could be a special place. You know what it is. And so I invite you to call that to mind now, just so that it's easy to access when we get into our meditation. And let's go ahead and relax into our chairs and breathe in and breathe out. And I'd like you to envision that space around your biological heart, that miraculous organ that knows to beat. I invite you to see your heartbeat as a candle, as a lit candle, representing that Christ light, that Christ presence that is with you always. And I invite you now to see pink light radiating all around that candle and all through your heart, that you see the pink light of love easily surrounding and filling your heart. And now I invite you to call to mind that person, place, plant, or thing or place that you love. And envision from your heart a beam of pink light radiating from your heart to that item that you love, that person, place, or thing. That beam of pink light radiates out to your beloved, surrounding it, filling it. And then your beloved radiates that pink light back to you. So you receive that light of pink love. You allow it to fill all parts of your heart, all parts of your physical being. And you see it radiating out into your life and in the world. And so we'll take a few moments now just to bask in the light of that pink love that comes from you and to you and radiates out as you in the silence. I invite you to hear these words as the words of your own heart. I am heart-centered. I am love. I am courage. I am the place where I store what I value. I am life itself, and I recognize this sacred life and this sacred love in all. I recognize the sacredness of my heartbeat and of the ability to love, and so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Audrey. What a great way to start the year with you. We are blessed. Next, it is our offering. Obviously, we can't do anything about it right here and now, but we are most appreciative to those of you who have sent any checks. And if you wish to do that, they can be sent to 800 South Pearl Street, Centralia, 98531. Also, we wish to thank everyone for all of the ways that you give of your time, talent, and your treasure. Let's say our offering prayer together as we hold our offerings in our hands and hearts. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And together, let's say our blessing of thanks. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And now it's time for our healing prayer. If you'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, you may speak out their name or hold them quietly in your heart. I would like to ask that you all hold in your hearts Amy O'Neill, Joanne's daughter, the 12 staff and 32 patients at the nursing home that she works at. All of them came down with COVID this week. And so if we could hold them in our healing prayer, that would be wonderful. And if anyone has anyone else, just unmute yourself, please, and let us know. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And we will say our prayer of protection together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And we will conclude with our peace song. Just imagine that we're circled up and joining hands with each other.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. Let this be my joyous vow. live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.
I'd like to thank everyone who made this Sunday service possible and wonderful. Eileen, thank you for the reading, and Mike and Karen for the accompaniment, Audrey for your fabulous talk, and all of our tech people who put this all together. Johnny did the slides today. Penny created many of them, and Tom's the glue that kind of holds all that part together. So thank you, everyone. Next Sunday, we will hear from Grandfather Roy Wilson, who will share Native American and Christian spirituality. My understanding is we're gonna take a break. I heard 15 minutes. I don't know if that's it or not. Someone can tell me. And then come back for our annual meeting.